and yeah, the mouse. EOTM Radio. We're heard from coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move. Giving you the most.
Man Station is the hottest. Playing the best independent artists. And looking for more. So tune in and tell a friend about the hottest station on internet land.
Sit back and listen to EOTM on a mission. Classic City Records. Ain't no competition. Pay attention to the grind. We're in it. The vision. Entrepreneurs on the move. Success is given.
EOTM Radio. We're heard from coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move, giving you the most. EOTM Radio, we're heard from coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move, giving you the most.
EOTM, that's the people station. Hottest station in the nation, no underestimating. Stop procrastinating and gon' hit them up. Giving you bang for your buck, get your numbers up.
Come on.
Stop. Sitting around whining, crying about making it, but ain't trying.
Classic
City Records, we tiring. Go to EOTM and start climbing.
EOTM Radio, giving you the most. EOTM Radio, giving you the most.
Show here on EOTM Radio. As always, I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and of course, movie reviews. Then we welcome one of the married duos from the hit TLC reality show, The Sisterhood, Pastors Brian and Tara Lewis. Make sure you tune in, hear about their experience and how their life has changed since being part of that show. As always, we want to be part of the discussion, so call us your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. You can also join us in chat. There's a link on our Facebook page. But first, Ms. Parker, how are you?
What's going on? Trying to
how you feeling?
Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday, yeah. How was your Super Bowl Sunday?
I had a great weekend. Had a great day yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, as you can tell, I'm tired.
Right. Yeah, the Super Bowl.
But I had problems with my car, so they better get some rest. But people had the Super Bowl flu today.
Yeah.
I'm definitely one of those.
Right. Trust me, I feel you. I actually had a good weekend as well. I'm very excited because I obtained a one album deal. So I'll be putting out
That's
an album.
Awesome. Congratulations.
This probably around May or so. So I'm very excited
That's
about
great.
That. Yeah. So more to come about that later on, though. What's your week looking like? I know it's going to be busy, huh?
Yeah, it's another busy week, but for me it's going to be a short week, so I'm definitely looking forward to just getting it over with.
I hear that. Adam, Chike, what's going on?
Hello.
How's it going?
How y'all doing?
Doing great. How are you, Adam?
Did y'all have the Super Bowl flu?
Nah, I admitted it this time.
Oh, that's good.
I might have Super Bowl-itis after all the food I ate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So what's going on in the movies?
My end, I saw one movie this weekend. I don't know how many you got to, Chike, but I'll keep it brief. I saw Stand Up Guys. Not a major release, not too big, but it's got Christopher Walken, Al Pacino, and Alan Arkin, and it's a movie about this. Al Pacino's a guy that was released from prison for about 30 years. He goes, hangs out with his friend, played by Christopher Walken, and the crime boss is going to pay Christopher Walken to get rid of Al Pacino's character, basically, because he accidentally killed his son, and that's why he's in jail. It's a lot of talent, a lot of old guys, though. It feels like it's okay. It's not great. You're not missing much. You don't see it. It seems like a show or a movie based mainly for maybe your parents will enjoy it. You know, I love Al Pacino and The Godfather, and then seeing him play this old role, it definitely took some getting used to. But, I mean, he does a great job. Christopher Walken does a great job. Alan Arkin does. They all do great jobs. But overall, it's not something that, you know, you're going to rush out to see. Maybe if it's on the plane and it's one of your movies, check it out if you last. But overall, it wasn't disappointing, but it wasn't something that you could go out and see.
Okay.
I actually, that was one of my features, too, that I saw. And one of the things that I admire about projects like that is that it was specifically geared for those actors. You know, in Hollywood, you know, a lot of times you have enough time on the vine and then you're clipped. But I'm loving to see how projects are being created for older actors so they can have longevity in their careers. And this was a project that I wanted to see just simply because these are actors that I admired, you know, in my younger years, and they were powerhouse actors in their prime. And they still are. Their craft still holds, you know, true today. It's just that a lot of projects that are being created aren't being created for these actors. So I went to go see it solely for the purpose of supporting projects for artists of their age bracket. And I thought it was pretty good. You know, I agree with Adam. Is it something that you're going to rush to go see? No, but it's solid work for, you know, a solid, you know, genre. Made you laugh. You know, each of those actors showed off a little bit of their specialty, so to speak, in the film. They got a chance to shine. So it was a good project. Will it be great for home DVD on a rainy day? Excellent for that. But, you know, box office, maybe not so much. And second feature was Dreams, which was an independent release. It stars Angie Stone and Terry Vaughn of Steve Harvey Show fame and Tommy Ford of Martin fame. It's a pretty good movie. Again, not one of those ones that you would rush to go see because, one, it didn't have the budget to get you to pay attention to it. Two, just simply because the people that are in this aren't, you know, A-list actors or actresses, so you're not going to, you know, gravitate toward it right away. But it's definitely good for a DVD. Good for independent. It basically is about four stories about people who have dreams and aspirations to do something else other than what they're doing. And at the same time, they're also dealing with issues of their past personally and how they deal with those issues to rise above and excel in, you know, their deferred dreams. If you are one of those people that had a dream in life and you got derailed by marriage, kids, maybe you're in a career that you didn't anticipate being on, this is a good movie for you to go see. It's very inspirational. I highly recommend it, but, like, again, if it's, you know, home on DVD on a rainy day, excellent. I wouldn't rush to go see it in the big theater, but it's a good solid art piece.
Y'all are harsh tonight. No.
Well,
it's that lull. It's the lull between the
season.
Yeah,
exactly. I agree with it. It's a lull before, you know, the big, you know, movies start coming out again. And it's like that every year. Wouldn't you agree, Adam? Like with the whole
Oscar
definitely. Season happening?
Yeah.
They're not going to release any quality stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to do anything too, you know, groundbreaking to have to see at this point because everyone's focusing on the awards season. I've noticed, like, Silver Linings Playbook is still in the theater. You know, they brought it back to theaters for people to see. You know, Lincoln's, you know, they brought back some of the theaters here. A bunch of the Oscar movies are in the local theaters, so if you missed them the first go-around, they brought them back. So a lot of theaters have that playing pretty much throughout the whole season.
Yeah, so that
Oscars,
way...
By the way?
Sorry?
The 27th?
Okay.
The 27th, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they do it that way, too, also, because when if their film wins the Oscar, when the DVD comes out, they can jack that price up.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly, all the Blu-ray. Anything coming up that you're looking out for? I know Oscar's big thing. Anything else outside of that? Any movies?
Well, I know this summer is going to be crazy with blockbusters. They have another Fast and Furious coming out, which is going to have Tyrese, Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, and Ludacris in it. So that's going to be major.
Oh, wow.
You don't put too many, you know, big stars in a movie together unless you know you're going to get the bang for your buck. So
yeah.
I think that's going to be pretty major. Of course, you know, Adam and I are both anticipating, you know, the Oz movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
anything else, Adam, for you?
Nothing for me per se. I know for Die Hard fans, Die Hard does come out not this weekend, next weekend, the fifth Die Hard movie. So, you know, Bruce Willis comes back again, and he's getting close to that age where I don't know how many times he can go back before, you know, he wasn't expendable. So he's kind of reaching that bracket of action star. But it's a Die Hard movie. People will watch it. They'll enjoy it. And then I noticed that in some theaters, they're doing a re-release of Top Gun in 3D because – you know, they're still trying to push the 3D movies.
Right.
So if you're a fan of the movie, you want to see it in 3D, see if your local theater has it. It'll probably be a little bit limited run. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting movie to pick for a 3D re-release.
Sounds good. And, Chica, you got something to plug?
Yeah, this weekend in Philadelphia at Sigma Studios, I'm going to be attending the second annual Love and Music concert. That's going to be on February 9th. And it's going to be starring Sue Picasso, who is an awesome, awesome, awesome lyricist from the Congo who relocated here to the Philadelphia area. He's a great musician, great rapper. He's going to be putting on a concert with some featured guests. Brett, who we've featured some of his music on the show, Jay, Bella Maya, Lee Smith, Class 6, Bamboo, all these people will be featured in this concert that will be coming up again. That's February 9th, which is this Saturday in Philadelphia. My other job that I have, Conversations with Chica Evans, will be in the building. So please follow me. Please attend if you're in the area. Hope to see you there.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, thank you both. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Aaron, I've been waiting to talk to you. Super Bowl. What were your thoughts?
First of all, Mr. Knight, congratulations, man. Big, big deal, brother.
I appreciate that.
Major.
Appreciate that.
Major moves, yes, sir.
Trying.
The Super Bowl, man. The team that I said was going to win won. So
yeah,
I said
the Ravens
were
going
to win. Oh, yeah. Beyonce just killed it. She was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
she
nailed it. Perfect. Beautiful, could sing, dance, the whole nine. I enjoyed New Orleans, man. I love that city. It's an amazing party town. It's just
Yeah,
it's great. The game, all right, Steven, I'm gonna say it right now. I am a conspiracy theorist. I think that the NFL did the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial
with the power.
And
with
the power. I think once Jacoby Jones ran the 109 yard punt return for like the touchdown, whatever, or the kickoff, whatever, for for the touchdown, and it was like 28-6 or something like that, or 28-3, whatever. I think that the NFL was like, okay, we are about to lose a lot of money now because people are going to start turning the channel. Nobody wants to watch a blowout game. So, you know, turn off the power, a half hour, let the Ravens lose all their all their swag, all their mojo, everything. And then
that was
let
crazy.
I'm telling you, that's what happened. I said it here. You heard it.
What do you think, Ms. Parker, about that, the power going out?
I didn't even know the power's up.
Did you watch the game?
No, I was just playing. I watched most of the game. I was at a house party, and it got pretty crazy. But I don't know. You know, in New Orleans, there's always something going on. Nothing seemed to go right. It's kind of like New York. It's, you know, it's like, you know, they can't catch a break. So
that's what
I'm not sure.
Okay,
yeah, I'm not sure what happened with the power. They're saying that Beyonce had her own generators for her show, so that wasn't really a factor, but I was thinking that may have been a factor with all of the lights and stuff that she had going on. So I don't know. I wouldn't have wanted to be at the game and sit in the dark for 30 minutes.
Well, they actually said it was pretty lit, well lit in the actual stadium. But just
well, they were saying, like, if you were walking, you were walking, like, you know, from your
concourses.
If you went to the bathroom, people got stuck in elevators.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a good game.
All
thing.
Over. Yeah.
You thought it was a good game, though? You thought it was a good game overall?
But if the 49ers would have actually won, okay, I'm going to say it here. I'm glad that the Ravens won, but, man, if there would have been maybe five more minutes left in that game, I think the Niners would have probably pulled it out. So, and then I would have been mad because, to me, it's like the whole power outage thing was suspect. This, you know, the Ravens had the game. It was pretty much over, and then everything just stops. And in the world of sports, momentum is everything.
Sure.
And whenever, and especially if you're the older team, the Ravens are the older team.
Yeah.
Them sitting for like a half hour is not good for them. It's not. And it
shows, their coach was pissed off.
Oh, he was pissed.
He was
pissed.
Oh, he was definitely pissed. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
God, come on now, really. So, but you know, shout out to Ray Lewis.
Yeah, I'm glad he ended his career with a win.
Hall of Famer, soon to be, I should say, future Hall of Famer. Shout outs to Joe Flacco, MVP. Yeah, I mean, just a great. Also, shout outs to Anquan Boldin. That dude is a player. He catches balls from, like, anywhere on the field.
Yeah.
Didn't you see that? I mean, dude is, like, and he's like, solid. Dude is, like, a big receiver. He's got some size on him. Anquan, he finally got his Super Bowl ring. Also, shout-outs to Torrey Smith, man. He came a long way this year. Torrey Smith is the gentleman whose brother died earlier this season in the in a motorcycle accident. So he played great under the circumstances also, so shout out to him. And also shout out to John Harbaugh, cause, coach John Harbaugh. Good.
I wonder what that conversation
really
will be at Thanksgiving this year.
It's gonna be crazy. Can you imagine? Man, this is going to be crazy. But, yeah, great Super Bowl next year. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Guys, everyone talked about Beyonce's performance. I thought she did a great job. What about Alicia Keys' national anthem?
Alicia. Oh, my gosh.
That was horrible.
Oh, you thought it was horrible? Oh, I thought
you thought it was
like. It was the bedroom remix to the Star Spangled Banner. It was like,
she was
Kavassier. You got Stephen
on
Kavassier
on
like
that.
The,
it was like a midnight soul, you know, the Quiet Fire.
I don't know why they keep having Alicia Keys on these shows trying to sing live, just like what she did at Whitney Houston funeral. She can't do it.
Okay. I will say this though. I thought Alicia Keys was going to take 20 minutes to sing the national anthem.
That's where she was going. But see, that wasn't the problem. If that wasn't the problem was she. Well, I will say this. You know, some of the negative feedback she's been getting from a lot of performances is that her songs are in too high a key for her. Right.
Okay.
It wasn't in a high key this time. She did keep it in the right key, and she didn't scream and holler at all. But she was pitchy. Like, I remember watching it when I was watching the game, and then I came home and I was like looking at some of the stuff online, and I listened to it again. I said, "That thing was bad. That was bad."
But see, she was smart. She threw people off by the sexy red dress. You know?
Yeah, because she was bad.
The only reason I was having her on these shows is because she's good to look at. But every time I see her perform, it's horrible. I'm telling you, it's a mess. Every time I see her perform,
is it just too
like Whitney Houston thing? I was like, Whitney Houston gonna get out of her.
She's trying to wake Whitney up
and piss off.
What did y'all think about?
What in the world?
What did y'all think about Jennifer Hudson?
Oh, she's good as always. She reminds me of an old woman.
Jennifer Hudson is just a natural talent. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, she one of those people that it's gonna be good. Yeah, she's singing.
Yeah, yeah, and then also her singing with the little
with
kids
the Sandy
from
Hook.
The
mm-hmm.
Newtown.
Yeah.
That was really nice. Yo, real quick though, before I go, did y'all hear about the whole Twitter thing with Keisha Cole?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Man, Keisha got clowned. Boy, they came at her. They came at
they
her.
Did.
But I have to say it, Michelle. Michelle from Destiny's Child, not you, Miss Parker. Michelle from Destiny's Child. But can they kind of bring back LaToya Luckett? Can she come back to the group?
LaToya Luckett's not part of the group. She got fired years ago.
Well, they're trying to say that
that
wasn't her saying those things on her page. But I think she said it, and I mean, I don't see anything wrong with what she said. She was right.
No, I think it was classless to say that though, from an entertainer to another.
Right, Michelle starts to sing it, you'd be like, ooh, no, just mess up the whole vibe.
And Ms. Parker, you're right, it does. It messed up the whole entire vibe. Kelly and Beyonce was working it. Damn, they working it. Boom. And here's Michelle. Like, oh, okay.
Y'all leave Michelle.
I'm like, why is she even in the group?
Keisha explained explained on Twitter that the reason why she made those comments, she didn't really care for Michelle because apparently back in 2004 or 2005, Keisha was performing and Michelle allegedly tweeted something about her performance. So she never forgot. Apparently.
Okay. Wow.
But,
real quick, New Edition, remember when they brought all of them back? Bobby, Johnny, Rick, all of them. So just bring LaToya back. You can keep the other one off the group, but just Michelle, LaToya, Beyonce, and Kelly. 4. Bam. Okay. Anyway, but yeah, it was great. Super Bowl was awesome. I'm glad it's over and done with. Big ups to the Ravens, and all good. It's over. Oh, and shout outs also really quickly to Indiana. They beat the Michigan Wolverine Saturdays, and now they are the number one ranked college basketball team in the country, Indiana Hoosiers.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
And that's pretty much it. Oh, Tiger Woods also won. He won a tournament finally. So congratulations to Tiger Woods.
Hey, Tiger Woods.
I'm looking forward to this interview tonight. I'm going to be listening, yo.
You watch the show, right?
I love the show. Please let them know. Hey, Pastor, First Lady, if y'all listening, A. Ron Cosby is a huge fan of your show. Continue success. Please let them know that I said it. Thank you.
We will let them know you said it. Appreciate you, Ron. Talk to you again on Monday, okay?
All right.
Okay. Ms. Park, what's going on in entertainment? I know we talked about the Super Bowl. That's the biggest thing, I'm sure.
Yeah, the biggest thing is, you know, the Beyonce's performance last night. She brought out the girls, Michelle and Kelly. Everyone did well, did really great. Beyonce killed the show.
Now
they're saying that she had their mics turned down so they won't sing, so, like, you couldn't really hear them sing. I believe it because, like, they did a comparison when the girls did their solos, and they did a comparison with Beyonce's mic, and they did this on Entertainment Tonight, so it was, like, legit. And her mic was so much louder. I was like, Beyonce is a mess.
Well, let me tell you this. A lot of people, I don't know if they picked up on this. Beyonce killed the performance. I mean, there's nothing you can say about that, right? But there were some parts that she was lip syncing.
Yeah.
Like, she sang most of it, but there were some parts in some of the verses that she was not singing live. And I picked up, I can always tell if someone's singing live. But she did a good performance, so who cares?
She did
a great performance,
a really
great
Kelly
energy.
Kelly
looked great. Oh my gosh, she looked great. Yeah.
But
she looked good to me, too.
Have you seen a video online with the lady at the mall, her kids, and got tasered by the security guard?
I heard about that. What happened?
It's hilarious.
I just all laid out. That's all
I'm
saw
post
one picture.
And tag you.
I'm
sorry.
And I saw one picture of her standing up talking junk, and think she laid out. So.
It was supposed to be a mall out here in the hood. I don't know which mall. And the security guard, she said, yelled at her son. And I guess towards yelling at her kids, it probably was being bad. You can tell the kids are ratchet. So she starts yelling and screaming. And the security guard was like, don't come in here. So she went in there. He tased her. But the funniest part of it all is when she was cussing out the security, her ratchet kids were yelling, "That's why you're gay. You gay." And these kids were like 2 and 3 years old.
Wow.
And they were like 2 and 3, and they were cussing out the security guard too. And I kept saying, "You gay."
Then they saw the mom get tased. That's crazy.
You can just tell that household is nowhere for a kid to be, because the way she was cussing in front of her kids, and she had about 6 of them, and then they started jumping in cussing out the security guard.
Oh my gosh!
Most ratchet thing I've seen in a long time. But you have to go online and watch it.
She did that on his Facebook page. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, definitely do so. It's hilarious. I have not been able to stop laughing at it. So we talked about Beyonce killing the Super Bowl show. There was rumors that Muhammad Ali had been sick, but his family released a statement
saying he's
fine. Definitely keep him in your prayers, because I saw some recent pictures of him, and it's not looking too well. Entertainment, I think that's pretty much about it. Nothing major happened this week except, you know, Super Bowl and Beyonce.
Super Bowl is the biggest thing,
exactly.
I will just give a shout out, because it is Black History Month, February Black History Month.
Definitely.
And we'll be celebrating that later on in the month. But Ms. Park, I know you're going to drop off, take care of some things, but we'll talk to you again next week, and we'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back with Pastors Brian and Tara Lewis right back after this.
Hey, Luella.
Yeah, what is
it? The dude that came up on your phone on the other day and
said, what are you talking about?
Somebody call
him. Eat him. Child, that's you, dear. Call him. Lord. What is Lord?
Well, I know I saw something on there. I know it was. I ain't know if you're trying to cheat or something. You ain't trying to cheat.
Cheat, child. You can't even see something. I said,
what you
saw on there? EOTM Radio. That's a. In a PR company, child. What is, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, my baby.
EOTMblog.com. Go check out the site. Get branded. Ask for Carla at 909-559-1763. Get your business to the streets.
Many people were reluctant yet intrigued when TLC announced that they would be filming a brand new reality show based on the First Ladies of Churches located here in Atlanta, Georgia.
The Sisterhood captures a candid look into the lives of devout yet fierce preachers' wives. Known as First Ladies, these women work to ensure their families and churches run as smoothly as possible. As wives of preachers in Atlanta, First Ladies are held to a high standard. But like everyone else, they experience struggles and triumphs. The show follows them as they navigate through marital troubles, financial issues, parenting issues, personality conflicts, and even demons from the past. Although it has been met with some controversy, especially in the church community, the show is well into its first season with many loyal fans. Pastors Brian and Tara Lewis are husband and wife duo who are featured on The Sisterhood and join us tonight to talk about their experience thus far. Please help me welcome to the show Pastor Brian and Pastor Tara Lewis. Welcome to the show.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
Thanks so much for having us. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you. You know, we've been trying to set this up for a while. It's just, Pastor Brian, I told you before that I really had no intentions of watching the show. And then one day I did see it, and then the next day I saw you in the gym.
Right.
And then that's how this kind of happens. I definitely want to thank you all for coming on. It actually is a good show. It's a really good show. And I don't know if you heard Aaron, who does our sports. He's a big fan of the show. He was very excited when I told him that you all were going to be on. So thank you again for taking
that's
the time.
Good.
So let's start from the beginning. Tell us how you got involved with the Sisterhood.
Well, first of all, we are from Los Angeles, and we were moving out here for a church, which the story is followed in terms of what took place with us coming out here. But basically, someone that knew my family, knew myself and my husband, had an opportunity to be interviewed in Los Angeles, and they informed her that they were working on a new show, which was The Preacher's Wives. And she was so elated and excited. She was like, oh, my God, I have the perfect person for you. And they were like, no, you can't. We've been trying to do this for 2 years. There's no way. And she said, yes, they just moved to Atlanta. Well, the owners of the production company were in our home within 4 days, interviewed us, took it to TLC and another show. But TLC was really amped about it, purchased it without a pilot, and here we are today.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was all because I was attached to it, though. They saw me, and they said, oh, yeah, we got to get that guy on TV.
Got to get him on there, right? Well, was there any apprehension, you know, putting it all out there for the world to see?
You want me to answer that one?
You can go ahead first.
Of course, you know, I mean, it's a reality genre, so you never know how they're going to make things look, but really more than apprehension, I had excitement and enthusiasm because I was thinking, this is groundbreaking. I mean, you know, we talk about going into all the world, you know, to make disciples for Christ, but here's this opportunity where we can, you know, let our light shine on national, you know, global level television. This is awesome. And I was excited because I knew that it would bring exposure to our ministry, to the church that we were at the present time, and to just some of the things we're doing in the secular community. So we were really excited.
And I think it was also interesting because it's appealing, like you said, outside of the church community, definitely the secular community. Now, the show is a little different what some people would expect in terms of it's not holier than thou, which I think is good in terms of getting more people to see inside of it. But as a family and the ministry that you are doing, what was it that your intention that you wanted the show to bring out?
Well, I'd say that for my husband and I, our ministry is called Phenomenal Life today,
right,
and our church was Phenomenal Life Church. And for us, we really believe in marriage. We believe in families. We believe in connectivity. We believe that you really can have it all. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but in Christ we believe that you can be phenomenal. And our hopes were that we would be able to share that with the world, with non-believers and believers alike, that they would take something away from us connecting to one another. But I think the greatest thing about our marriage was that we come from two different backgrounds, two different cultures, two different upbringings. Just our, you know, everything about us is so different, but yet we have been able to not only survive, but to see God manifest in our marriage in such a way that you can't, you got to be able to have hope when you look at the Lewises. You got to be able to believe in marriages and that God can work through the toughest circumstances, because we faced a lot of them. As you can see on the show, we have probably very few family members in our lives, and we're in Atlanta, Georgia. We have no what we can say is real family and friends, and here we are still a family, and that's really significant today because so many families are broken.
That's true. Now, there's been some tension with Pastor Tara, with you and some of the other cast members.
Oh, my God.
There's been some tension. And, you know, I understand, you know, when doing reality TV, we don't always get everything. We don't always get
you're right about that.
The full story. You know, editing.
That's right.
I've seen it because, you know, I know someone who's affiliated with the Housewives of Atlanta, and we used to go to a lot of the tapings.
Right.
And, you know, it's a lot of
definitely cut down and edited and cut down to tell some story. What would you like to know, sir? I'm gonna lay it all out.
Well, let me ask you, with some of the controversy, with the arguing and things like with that, what is it that do you think is the biggest misconception about you and your family?
The biggest one, I would say, because my husband and I are one, first of all, is that somehow I'm this person that goes around quoting scriptures left and right, up and down, that I'm some Bible-thumping person, that I don't know how to relate to people, that I don't know how to connect, that I think I'm some holier-than-thou person. I'm so super spiritual that I can't have fun, that I can't be real, that I can't just be Tara. And unfortunately, that was not displayed because of the editing, but that was based off the people that were involved in the show. Those were things that were not valid. They were not legitimate. They were not real. Their intentions were not coming from an authentic place, something that they've experienced with me. It was superficial. It was made up, and it was made to make me look like the person that I just described.
Right.
And that's not me. I love the Word of God. I will never retract that. But I also know how to communicate effectively with people that know the Word and that don't know the Word.
Well, I'll tell you that when, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting you this past Saturday at the gym.
Right.
And I saw you before I came up to you because I was working out and I wanted to finish that up. And I was like, first of all, you were getting in the gym. You know, you and your husband don't play. When it comes to the gym, I'll give y'all that.
Right.
But then even when I came up to you and introduced myself, you know, you were very approachable. And, you know, you said, yeah, I'm in here getting it in. I missed 4 days. I'm getting it in. You know, you weren't You weren't quoting scripture to me. You weren't, you know what I mean? You were getting your workout on. So I think it's important to, you know, because I can understand watching the show. And I can, I'll say this because me watching the show, if I didn't know you all, I'm thinking that you are what you are on the show or what's portrayed on the show. But then in talking to your husband, we've had several conversations, and I kind of see that the person that kind of show on the show is not, at least what I have met, you know, and talked to.
Right.
Pastor Brian, what would you say is the biggest misconception about you?
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up. The first thing I want to say is that when they do the filming, you have to understand that they film like anywhere from an hour to 3 hours of footage.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could think that the scene is going really well, like, you know, I've given some great dialogue, this is off the chain, you know, I can't wait till I see the show appear on television because it's going to be great. And I think that what they do is they edit the scenes down like 2-3 hours down to 2.5 minutes. And so, you know, they may not capture us the way that we want to be captured. You know, they can take little moments. I think the biggest misconception of me is that I don't believe that I'm as strange as they tried to make me seem in the first episode.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very funny person. I love humor. I love to make people laugh. I love to laugh myself, and so I may tell jokes. So I think the biggest misconception would be that Tara and I were the oddballs or that we were strange, because I feel like I really connected with the husbands. You don't see much of that, but I think we all kind of felt comfortable with each other and liked each other. It didn't have real issues with each other, even though there may have been like doctrinal issues. We may not have all believed the same things. I didn't know some of the things that they were doing in their own private scenes, but I would say the biggest misconception is that we didn't get along.
That's what I'm going to ask you. Do the families get along for the most part?
Well, I can answer in terms of the women, because it's
right.
more related to the women. If the wives don't connect, then you can better believe that the
oh,
husbands
yeah.
aren't. And I have no connection with any of the wives other than Delana.
Okay.
And you have to be mindful because we don't know. I'm entering to this show like a real Christian, loving
yeah.
them, you know, walking in forgiveness when the scene is over and I feel like I've been through hell, that I get up and I walk away and I'm walking in forgiveness. I don't know that they're interviewing and that their interviews are going to be disparaging,
right.
not
yeah.
not truthful, not honest, not loving, not caring. I don't know that. So after seeing the first episode, my heart was broken. I was like, wow. I was like,
right.
Father, I had these people in my home. I've had them around my children. This person thinks of me like this. I've let them come close to my family. They've disparaged my marriage. I've never said these things to them. So when you look at it from after seeing the show, if you're genuine and authentic in your faith, you realize it's better for me to pull away and not get involved and try to get to a place where I can just totally walk in forgiveness until God sees fit for me to be able to address it with them.
Yeah, because I know you and Dominique kind of bump heads. Is that her name, Dominique?
Yes.
Bump heads on the show. I always wondered when watching reality shows and seeing the interview segments, you know, when they're doing the testimonials,
right,
whatever,
correct.
Scenes.
Uh-huh. Confessional.
Do you learn a lot when you go back and watch the show, what the people are really thinking or how they're feeling or what they're saying?
Oh, of course, of course.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
you know, for me, there's been one scene where if you listened closely, they start have me speaking and they didn't have the camera on me, but and then I say something different than what was actually said. And I get it to a certain degree, and that's sometimes used just to keep promoting, you know, whatever it is that they want to promote in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. That's just television, right? But at
right.
the same time, when you look at each person in their interview and you listen to their comments about you, you realize those were choices that were made. Those were decisions
right.
that were made, that they chose to make the statement, whether they believe it or whether it's for the show or not. And I took this seriously. I was not going to disparage. I was not going to bad bite. I was not going to speak evil of someone. I'd speak about their character. I mean, you can better believe it. I'm a call sin, you
right.
know, but I'm not going to try to make them look like something that is based off my opinion and
right.
my perspective of them. It is going to be something that I believe that you would see if you were watching and listening to me. So, yeah, listening to the confessionals, the interview style, it's been somewhat shocking, and I think that's probably that's kind of what has damaged the show also. You know,
yeah.
and there's things, though, I mean, and I want you to get into your, you know, continue the questions, but there are things that people can definitely learn from it. Am I one of these characters, and how do I conduct myself as a Christian? Is this how I talk about my friends when I leave their presence? Is this a true sisterhood?
Right, yeah. You know, we talked about the controversy, and particularly from the church community, saying that this show does not depict Atlanta-based churches.
Right.
What do you say to those critics?
Well, I would say this. First, I wanted to say that, you know, when you and I talked, I think that, you know, they didn't realize that the African-American community, whether or not they're a church-going community, they still have a deep love for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is interesting for me to say how I'm going to say this, but some people love Jesus even though they're not living for him.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So in the African-American community, and I know this is strange coming from me, you know, saying this, but Jesus is such a part of the culture. He's interwoven into the fabric of the culture. So to do something that defames or takes away from Jesus is like saying yo mama to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of you know, coming with a sensitivity and this show being about, yes, we all have similar struggles to everybody in the world, but let this be a positive, uplifting, inspirational takeaway show where we can show that we can come together as believers, we can pray, we can, you know, put action with those prayers and come away, you know, with victory. But instead to have all these moments where we're introducing things that are either perverted or not necessary and really taking away from the things of God, I can understand. It is not an accurate or true depiction. So I tell people this. I found out, just like everybody else, that this is not a Christian show. It's mm-hmm. not a Christian show. It's not on a, it's not on TBN. It's on TLC. You know, none of it is Christian except some of the cast members may be believers or true disciples, and that's for the audience to really make that determination. Who on here is living for Jesus? Who on here is not living for Jesus? Who needs to live for Jesus? This is a group of women who are considered first ladies or pastor's wives, and what people have to realize is you can marry into it. It's not fivefold ministry. You didn't have to be ordained. You could have just got saved, or you don't even have to be saved to be a preacher's right. wife if the preacher wants to marry you. So, I mean, I think that you'll see that that people are at different levels and that it shouldn't be seen as an indictment on the church here in Atlanta, but on a need for us to really come together and start praying for some of the people and pray for these people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. I know, Pastor Brian, you were telling me, and Pastor Tara, please jump in. Now that you are in the public eye, people recognize you, you're on blogs, you're on all types of social media, and people are not always saying the best things about you. How do you deal with that? Being out there for everyone to see and to read some of the things that are written about you.
I find a corner and I cry.
Uh-huh.
No, I'll tell you that we're human just like anybody else. So,
right, yeah.
Some of the things are hurtful, and if you don't guard your heart with all diligence, you know, out of it flow the issues of life. These things can have an effect on you. I've found that during this process, during the filming and actually the show being aired, that it has forced me to draw closer to God. It has forced me to reevaluate who I am in Him and draw strength from my identity in Him and not my need from approval for others. And so what I realize is I'm approved in Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved, and that's all that matters. So, I mean, people think I'm a homosexual, and I'm not. I'm not gay. I've been married to my wife for 16 years. I love her. Mm-hmm. And I like to say this, like, because it's funny to me, but if I wasn't saved and I wasn't married, I'd really enjoy cashing in on the fame and being able to prove to everyone that was fine. You have to be fine. If you was fine and call me gay and would give me a shot at proving that I wasn't, hallelujah, you know. I'd be like Chris Rock in Rush Hour 3. I'd be like, hallelujah, you know. But, you know, it's hurtful because we have children. But
right,
this
yeah.
is part of it. You know what? It's part of being a public figure, and we just have to accept it. Tara, what are your feelings?
For me, you know, I have a strong mind, and I like to look at what I see in the spirit when I realize that these people are hating on us. It's obvious that there are things that they see in us that they themselves probably would love to have. I mean, mm-hmm. we've demonstrated nothing but humor, love for one another, respect for one another. I did nothing but respect my husband on this show. I've done nothing but stand for the faith. I'm a defender of the faith. I will fight to the end, you know, for loving the people of God. So I realize that when people are saying evil and all manner of things against me falsely, that, you know what, the scripture is true. Blessed are those that are persecuted falsely for my sake, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. So for me, I realize that it means that I'm really doing something right. And then I take the next look and I look at those who today I went to the beauty salon and a beauty supply rather, and a woman saw me and she said, "Oh my God, I love your show." She said, "You're the reason why I worked out today." And
yep.
it just was so incredible. She was so, it took a picture with me and she's like, "I'm getting me a wig cause I'm going to be working out now." And you know, I'm taking all these amazing testimonies that people, we've gotten emails where men have emailed me and said they love my stand for God, they feel like stronger, that they can have a, you know, not be ashamed of loving God, loving Jesus in front of people, what they believe. And I don't even know which particular scenes they're talking about.
But right.
Just watching me, they feel like they want to be strong in their faith. So I'm a different and interesting different type of person of faith, and so my mind works a little bit harder. That's why when you see me in the gym, I'm like, if I feel pain, that means keep going.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we talk about fitness. You know, the reason why I saw you that first Saturday,
okay,
maybe a month ago, is because I remember in that first episode they were always talking about how you work out.
Okay.
And so when I came in the gym, I see you from behind on the Stairmaster. I still hit to my gym partner. That's that lady from the show.
Oh, yeah.
Show.
Right.
You know, and then I saw your husband and I saw your son. I said, yeah, that's her husband. That's, you know, her son.
Right.
And so it's just, you know, how things just happen. But, you know, I know there's certain things you all can't discuss, but I just thought it was just interesting being, you know, reality stars, you know, and just the experience, you know what I mean? Because the experience of being going from
right.
your congregation knowing you to the world knowing you.
Right.
And the scrutiny and everything that goes on with that. Well, let's talk about your son's bar mitzvah. I know that airs tomorrow, right, because the preparation
right.
was last week. I saw
Yay.
That.
Yay!
Tell us about, first of all, why is it so controversial, and tell us about what your intentions are for your son with this bar mitzvah.
I think that the controversy is probably because a lot of people don't realize or understand, one, that, you know, the Old Testament, you know, the New Testament is based on the Old Testament scriptures. We can see Christ in the Old Testament, and it really points us to the New Testament. And the Bible is basically a Jewish book written by, you know, Jewish men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I think all of the books of the Bible, but maybe one or two, are written by Jewish men who are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus in his natural was a Jewish man. I, in my natural, am a Jewish man. They've done studies and found out that there is a biological and genetic basis for being Jewish. So I'm Jewish. My wife is African-American. We've produced a son who's biracial. Then a bar mitzvah is really not necessarily a religious ceremony, and it doesn't have to be. It's more or less a rite of passage. It means son of the commandment. It means son of the covenant. It speaks about having a relationship with the Torah, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that anyone who is a Jew who reaches the age of 13 is considered a bar or bat mitzvah, because it has more to do with responsibility for your actions and responsibility in society. Now, the true Jews, we believe, are those who believe in Christ. So it doesn't matter what you are genetically or racially. I mean, if you're African American but you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you're
Romans.
The seed of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Romans, Galatians, I mean, you are now a true Jew. Me being Jewish, the Bible says I'm reattached, but as it relates to somebody who's not genetically Jewish, then you're grafted in and you become a Jew. Now, we felt that it was important to us to celebrate his Jewish heritage and history, but at the same time to embrace his African American heritage and history and bring Christ into it, because Christ is our Messiah. And so mm-hmm. it's a Christian bar mitzvah, and hopefully people will gain an understanding. The unfortunate thing about it is that, you know, it'll probably be whittled down to 2.5 minutes, and then more about what they want to tell is the brawl at the bar mitzvah, you know. So, you know, that's the unfortunate part of it. But our hope and our desire, and I'll let Tara speak, but our hope and desire was actually to create this benchmark event, not just for young Jewish boys and Jewish girls, but for Christian Jewish boys and Jewish girls, and for African-American Jewish boys and Jewish girls, that we could celebrate them as they come into maturity, and that we could have an event to commemorate this moment where they're transitioning, and have it be a moment where we can speak over their lives. We can empower them with our words, you know. I'm trying to avoid saying, like, prophesy over them, but we could seal them and pray
right,
for them. and really set them on a course for success instead of failure.
Correct. I think that for the most part, the controversy comes from many people being ignorant in terms of Judaism versus Jews. A lot of people think that if you're a Jew, you practice Judaism. And my husband is a product of that not being true. He's a Reformed Jew. I mean, he did, you know, go to temple every once in a while, but a lot of people don't understand that Judaism is the practice of the Torah and the temple and some of the religious, you know, traditions that are a part of the religion. So,
right, yeah.
You know, so sometimes I would say Christians are seen, they get offended. And, you know, I mean, the scripture even says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So sometimes it's like, you know, before, I'll give an example, before I understood the gift of tongues, I would hear, you know, I grew up in a Baptist church, so I would hear people like say, that's of the devil. And then I would hear people speaking in tongues at church. And I for some reason, for some reason, nothing in me would allow me to say it was from the devil because I didn't know that. So what I did is I asked God. I said, if this is of you, then I want more power. If it's not of you, then please let me know. And so many times we jump to this conclusion that, oh, a Christian bar mitzvah, that's mixing, you know, another religion. But the other ignorance, one of the greatest ignorance in America is that this country is a Judeo-Christian country. I mean, you know, and I think in hopes of being able, through Twitter and just reaching out, I've tried to share with people. Some have been enlightened. Some have really gone away and retweeted and said, oh, I get it. And so that's probably a part of what God himself wanted to reveal to our nation and to those that are watching, is that this is a part of your heritage. You cannot know his story without knowing his history.
And just grace. I mean, you know, people should approach it with grace because, you know, the Bible's clear that whether we keep, you know, the Sabbath or don't keep it, that's not what's important, but the substance of Christ. Having a bar mitzvah is not going to save you, and it's not going to unsave you. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ that saves you. It's not like we're practicing witchcraft. I saw one blog where they likened it to being a witch, and I think, like, wow. I mean, look, Christianity is basically based on the Old Testament and how we are saved from the law and saved from the judgment of the law, and that we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. And this is just a tremendous opportunity. And the bar mitzvah is really not in the Bible. It's just it's more of a cultural thing. I try to say it like this. It's like a quinceañera, you know, but for us, because it has a spiritual component, we included Jesus in it instead of just saying God, you know.
Right. Let me ask, season one's done. I know that we still have episodes that we'll be watching, but in terms of filming, you finished filming that. Will there be a season two? Do we know?
Can I answer this one? I believe that this show had the potential to see millions of viewers. And I think people tuned in. A million people tuned in at the premiere because they were hoping to see a show that was going to be positive, enlightening, impacting. And Tara and I really believed that this show was going to be an answer to all the wives shows because this one was going to have substance, conflict, yes, drama.
Husbands.
But when I say conflict, I meant to say content. You know, that was substantive. Yes, the husbands were going to be in it. I mean, you know, it was something totally different. Now, we know the show is not about the church, but we thought that it was going to be about relationships. And obviously there was struggle. We knew that with Tara. Now, I'm saying all that to say this, is that the viewership has consistently gone down. We premiered at 958,000 viewers, and as of episode 5, we're down to 429,000, which is not good. American Muslim premiered at 1.7 million viewers, and they hung around at about a million viewers per episode, and they got canceled for lack of viewership. So that shows you where we're at. Now, we never got any commercial promotion, and so I think that might have done us a disservice, but let's just say this. Our market doesn't want to tune in to watch preachers' wives behaving badly. So I don't know. The only other thing I could say, and I'm going to let my wife chime in, is this. I believe that, you know, Tuesday night, I believe that TLC probably wanted to do an African-American night, if you can see the programming. Now, when T-Boz was on, we consistently beat her in the numbers. The Starter Wives Confidential didn't even premiere as strongly as ours did. I think that we're going up against some strong programming on BET with the Wayans Show and the Real Men of Hollywood, and mm-hmm. people are tuning into that instead of us. I think only an act of God, you know, because I'll say this, what happened was this, and I digressed, is that when people tuned in and saw what some of the pastors were doing, whether it was gossip or whether it was some level of perversion that they didn't want to see, it turned them off to the show immediately. And we lost 300,000 viewers in 1 week. So they weren't spreading the word. As a matter of fact, they were saying probably don't watch it. So it would take an act of God for us to see a season two.
Okay.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, that would be God speaking loudly. And, you know, whatever his will is, it will be done. And I think the greatest thing that a person can take from having done something that they believe the Lord called them to do and did it in righteousness, meaning they did it in a way that would please God and not themselves and not people around them, that you can only know that you sowed seeds in that in due season, that you would reap a harvest. And so if it goes into a second season, praise the living God. If it doesn't, praise the living God. And just we're walking by faith.
So anybody out there looking for some pastors, just give us a call. we will preach for food. We will preach for some fried chicken and some greens and some cornbread.
You know me, I need some salmon and
right.
quinoa and some asparagus.
I will take a pecan pie, whatever you got.
And I'll take creme brulee.
Very different taste.
No, I'm just playing around. I will preach for sushi.
That sounds good.
That's not going to work here in the Bible Belt, though.
We must be hungry because we're talking about food. So.
Well, I know Phenomenal Life today, you are actually doing that. Tell us about MomFit.
Well, MomFit is such a tremendous place where we are having the exposure that we've had these last couple of weeks. You've seen me in the gym several times on
mm-hmm.
the show. You've seen MomFit, a little bit of Tara in motion, if you will, with the boot camp style drill instructor going there.
Nice.
And where we are is we are definitely building our brand, working towards the MomFit T-shirts, making those available. We have the book Fit, Fine, and Fabulous available, downloadable, rather, it's digital. And we are, you know, really just pushing our brand and have high hopes for it being a household name, and that's going to start, you know, we're definitely starting from ground up here.
Okay.
I mean, honey, if you want to add anything.
Oh, well, I mean, as it relates to MomFit, I mean, you know, I'm really thankful that we were able to see it profiled on the show. Tremendous exposure for Tara. And, I mean, you really can see that she's got the gifts, the abilities, the qualities. She's certified.
Oh, yeah.
She's a certified fitness instructor for group and individual training. She's got she's certified as a sports nutritionist. So, I mean, what you see is what you get. I was really proud of her because I know my wife personally and I support her, but when I saw her on the show, I was like, wow. You know, with Tara, it's a real boot camp experience. And so she's the kind of person that she will whip you into shape. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's what some people need. They need somebody that's going to be on them and help them. And then our company is not just fitness, but it's fitness, fashion, and family geared towards moms. And so, you know, we're developing apparel. We're going to be developing nutritional products like protein drinks and protein bars. You know, we have the digital book. We may be doing a digital magazine. And our hope is to get into, like, the gym where we're at, you know, to get these MomFit classes going and to be maybe like the next Zumba.
Okay. Well, listen, it has been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Oh, amen.
I wish the
Thank
best
you.
For you and your family moving
Thank
forward.
You.
with Phenomenal Life, Mom Fit, and anything else that you endeavor. The best to your family. We'll continue to watch
the
show, TLC, on Tuesday nights. Check your local listings.
There
and
you
we'll
go.
Have websites.
Tune in and support, because keep it on the air.
Yeah.
We'll have links to your websites on our Facebook page and our website. And you all have a great night. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
I'll
God
be on
bless
the
you,
Jim.
Sir.
So
see you on Saturday. All right. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Good night. And we'll be right back after this message with Stephen's Playlist.
Hey, Luella.
Yeah, what is
it? The dude that came up on your phone on the other day and
that wasn't
talking to him. Somebody called.
He ain't come chat at you on TM and called. Lord. What is Lord?
Well, I know I saw something on there. I know it was. I ain't know if you're trying to cheat or something. You ain't trying to cheat.
Cheat? You can't even see something. Like
what you
saw
on there?
EOTM Radio. That's a. In a PR company, child. What is, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, my face.
EOTMblog.com. Go check out the site. Get branded. Ask for Carla at 909-559-1763. Get your business to the streets.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to go on to Stephen's Playlist. As you know, we receive music from people all over the country wanting to be featured during this segment. Each week, we select artists to play on our playlist. Tonight, our playlist features songs by both independent and major artists, including Rihanna, Fat Joe, Philip Carter, and many more. If you're interested in being featured on Stephen's Playlist, please email us at thestephenknightshow@gmail.com. Attach one or two songs, your bio, one or two promotional pictures. Now, remember, all songs must be edited for radio, meaning no cursing. We definitely look forward to hearing from you. Now, the first song is by Rihanna, entitled Diamonds. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's Playlist.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
We're beautiful like diamonds in the sky.
like a diamond. So shine.
Don't you be holding back your love. Don't you be holding back your love. Don't you be holding back. 'Cause in the end, girl, you're gonna want another. becomes infectious. Let's make out in this Lexus. There's no other love just like this. I like with you, I wonder, can we become love persona? You'll always be the one that I wanna come on to, girl. Let me love you and show you how special you are. I wanna be your baby. You'll always be my baby. Tell me what you want.
Sing it to the world. Baby, give me some.
Give me some.
You gon' be my girl.
My girl.
I wanna make you mine. And it ain't nobody's business.
No.
It ain't nobody's business.
No.
It ain't nobody's business. It ain't nobody's business. Just mine and my baby.
It ain't no.
Dripping like I've got some fever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
much I prefer
the famous three letters.
Ooh.